This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
A seminal verse and rather unique, as we will see, which is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. This verse is very interesting in the sense that although the story of Adam عليه السلام and his creation is repeated many times in the Quran, this ayah mentioning the making him the Khalifa is quite special in that it is the only one. So all of the other verses we read are talking about the story of Adam alayhi salam, what happened, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam and how he refused, and so on. And this is repeated, albeit obviously with different details for good reason. But about making a khalifa on the earth, this is the only ayah in this way, in reference to Adam alayhi salam. So it is special in that way. Okay? That's why I'm saying it is really a seminal ayah. Okay? And thus you will see that the Mufassireen have a lot of pages to talk about this specific ayah as opposed to others. Interestingly, of course, the Imam of the Mufassireen, Imam al-Tabari, mentions and connects this ayah to that which came before. So although you may hear a lot of times and you may see it, you might find it in other tafsirs, as far as I know, the first one who mentioned it is Imam al-Tabari. And you will see that I mention Imam al-Tabari much because he is a primary source. And he is the Imam of the Mufassirin. And if someone mentioned after him, but he mentioned it, you know, centuries before, then it is more important to mention the first person who mentioned it. He connected it to the verses before. The verses you studied, right? قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, right? هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Those verses, Imam al-Tabari connects them. And he says, just like over there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning how He is calling on you to believe, and He is saying, how can you disbelieve? And you are dead, and then we brought you to life, and so on. And then He mentions the creation of the earth, and then the heavens, and the seven heavens, and all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning those things, mentioning those blessings to you, and a continuation of those blessings is the creation of humankind, starting with their father Adam alayhi salam. So this is a continuation of those blessings. It is Allah's blessing upon us that He has brought us here, that He has made the earth for us as a place where we can discover ourselves. Okay, and we will get to that a little bit later, because especially in our time, and with the rampant atheism that we see in the world, more and more people are starting to try to show that human beings are not that important in the domain of the universe. But this ayah tells us exactly the opposite. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. This is why Imam Ibn Kathir also mentions that this is showing the status, this is raising the status of the human being. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah Azza wa Jal is going to make a khalifa on the earth. Okay? And that is going to, and this is before the creation of Adam, as you can see, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the angels before that, I'm going to make a khalifa on the earth. This itself, just mentioning that, makes us feel special and shows that human beings are special. Adam alayhi salam and all of his progeny. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Subhanallah, I was wondering and pondering over the ayah, and I thought to myself, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the angels in the first place? Of course, is Allah consulting? Does Allah consult? Allah doesn't need to consult anyone. Allah does what He pleases. Okay? But He's telling them. He's telling them, this is what I'm going to do. Why is He telling them in the first place? So here you are. You're the head of the household. You're an important government employee. Maybe you're a minister or something else. And you think to yourself, I'm the authority around here. I don't need to consult anyone. Okay. Would you like to talk to someone about it? Maybe just share ideas? No. I'm in charge. Allahu Akbar. Allah is in charge. Allah knows everything. He's the omniscient. He's the omnipotent. He's in charge of everything. And He has this conversation with the malaika. He tells them, I am going to put a khalifa on the earth. Allahu Akbar. And He allows the malaika to respond. And not only to respond, but to wonder. Some may say, question. They're questioning, are they not? أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا. Do you place in it? This led some of the scholars of tafsir to say that what the angels are doing here is objecting. You will find that in the tafsir. Subhanak ya Rabb. We'll discuss that. I'll say more about that. The point I'm making is Allah is mentioning it, is talking about what He is going to do, and no one can stop Him. And the angels are responding, and then He responds again, Subhanak ya Rabb. And then you think to yourself, why should I consult? Why should I even talk? I'm in charge, I'm the authority. Learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I am going to place in the earth a khalifa. Of course, here the very important question is, what is khalifa? And this is why, as you saw from the beginning, I am not mentioning the meaning, I am mentioning the word. And if you have followed any of my lectures before, you know that this is exactly what I do. Before interpreting or translating, because once you translate or interpret, I've already given you an opinion. Mention the word Allah mentions. Allah said Khalifa. Then let's dive into it and see, what does Khalifa mean? What did the scholars say? You might be thinking, Sheikh, what are you talking about? Everybody knows what a khalifa is. What's a khalifa? Anyone want to volunteer?
Representative.
Replacement? Okay. So Adam is a replacement for Allah? But you know where the brother is going with that, right? So what is a khalifa? Maybe like a deputy?
Representative.
Vice-gerent. Excellent. Okay. This is the meaning of Khalifa. Is that the only meaning? Is that what is meant by the ayah? Scholars differed. Yes. This is a popular opinion. And you may find that this is the translation. This is chaos for someone with glasses. What's the other meaning? Does anyone know the other possible meaning? Also mentioned by scholars. No? This is it, huh? Only vicegerent or viceroy. Yes, it's a very popular meaning. The other very possible meaning, and one that many scholars will say is the only possible meaning, eliminating the possibility of vicegerent or viceroy, is that a khalifa is a successive authority. That khalifa here is a reference to the fact that it is successive, one after another. Human beings, one after another, one generation after another, one ummah after another. Okay? Let's talk about it. Khalafa in the Arabic language means that, yes. Khalafa means one to succeed another. And it also means to be someone's deputy. Okay? Khalafahu meaning to be his deputy. The reason some of the old Mufassirin and many scholars today say that the meaning of Khalifa must be these successive generations and not a deputy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exactly that. Who can be Allah's deputy? Or, when the brother said replacement, does Allah need a replacement? Does that mean Allah is not there? Or is Allah is not in charge? Ma'ad Allah. God forbid. Okay? Who is the Khalifa? Ultimately, Allah is the Khalifa. Ultimately, Allah is the Khalifa. Allah is the one who is there when someone else is not. Okay? And this is why, when they came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and they said, Ya Khalifat Allah, O Khalifa of Allah, he said, Lestu bi Khalifatillah. I am not the Khalifa of Allah. Rather, I am the Khalifa of Rasulullah. I am the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And I am happy with that. I am pleased with that. Okay? Similarly, the dua of the musafir when you're traveling, one of the things you say is, Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar wal khalifatu fil ahl. You are the khalifa looking after and protecting the family I have left behind. So Allah is al khalifa. So how do we say the khalifa is Adam or his progeny? This is the basis of the objection of many. Okay? And the opinion of some of the Mufassirin that it is the successive authority. And this was the opinion of Ibn Kathir and many others. Okay? And Ibn Taymiyyah also mentioned this opinion very strongly. That the Khalifa is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus the meaning here is that. Furthermore, the angels are saying, will you make in it, and will you place upon it ones who will spread corruption and shed blood? Can we say that about a khalifa? I'm mentioning the arguments to you, you know, to get those intellectual gears moving. On the other hand, yes, there's a very popular opinion that khalifa here means a vicegerent. Does that mean that it's some kind of replacement? Never. You can never replace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you be his deputy? Well, you're not exactly his deputy because he's always there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is always there. But it's possible that you are his deputy in the sense that you are his deputy in fulfilling his commands here on earth, in the physical and real sense. Okay? And it is interesting that many of the later scholars of tafsir have taken this opinion, the vicegerent, okay? Such as Imam al-Tahir ibn Ashur, Imam al-Mawdudi, Sayyid Qutb, and many other modern scholars as well. This meaning of Khalifa as a vicegerent. But interestingly enough, if you go back to one of the primary sources, you'll find it there as well, because an Imam al-Tabari talked about it. The possibility of this meaning. In a wonderful back and forth discussion that he has, okay, where he will mention the argument of the group and what the response may be, and then what the retort may be, and it goes back and forth, okay? And especially because he mentions many of the narrations from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een that possibly give that opinion. And he says, and it seems, Wallahu A'lam, that he leans towards this opinion, the vicegerent, in the sense that the human being, Adam alayhi salam, and then all his progeny are here to act, to rule by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to judge between his creation in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. To judge between people in truth and with justice. That this is the meaning of Khalifa. And he says, and this is the meaning that we get from the narration that he mentions on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And he responds to the possibility that the angels are talking and they are saying, how can you place on the earth the one who will corrupt and shed blood? He said that this is not about the Khalifa, but about the progeny and the descendants of the Khalifa and what they will do. And we'll get to that inshallah. So we have these two possibilities, and you will read about it and you will hear about it, for what the meaning of Khalifa is. Of course, when we look at the Quran, we see possibly both meanings. We see the meaning of hukm, because Allah Azza wa Jalla called Dawood alayhi salam Khalifa. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard, fahkum bayna an-nasi bil haqq. That we have made you, O Dawood, a Khalifa on the earth. So, judge between people in truth. And the ayah continues. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the successive generations. When he mentions khulafa'a fil ard, khala'ifa fil ard. Right? You read that as well. Interestingly, a great imam of tafsir and a proficient and an erudite linguist like Abu Hayyan al-Andalusi, in his tafsir, when he's talking about the Khalifa, he also seems to give credence to the opinion that it is vicegerent. How? In the sense that he says, the Anbiya, the Prophets, are khala'ifullah fil ard. That they are the Khalifas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here on earth. And he also mentions that one of the meanings of Khalifa on earth is that you have the responsibility of looking after the affairs of human beings. This is coming from a linguist, so that's why it's very important. So that no one comes and says, no, but linguistically it is not correct. If anyone would have objected, it would have been someone like Abu Hayyan. So, but again, you'll read them both, and you'll see arguments, you will hear from different scholars, and one scholar will say, no, the meaning is successive authority. In the end, what we have is the word Khalifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels that I will make upon the earth a Khalifa. And I have given you some of the different arguments and the ideas. Okay. It's never a good idea to be arrogant with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be modest. Humble yourself to the words of Allah. You may have that opinion. Others had other opinions. And it's a difficult one, subhanAllah. And don't try to restrict something that may be very expansive. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam, it may include both meanings. Successive generations and the Khalifa. Someone who has this responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And ultimately when we look at this ayah and its special status, we see that we understand the special status when we look at the meaning of the vice regent or the vice roy. That you have a responsibility. Okay? And this is the beginning of this chapter about the story of humankind on earth, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, I am going to place a khalifa on this earth. You feel the heaviness of that, right? There seems to be a responsibility coming along with it. Not just, wallahu a'lam, that it is one generation coming after another, successive generations, right? Furthermore, the scholars then differed about who is this Khalifa. So many scholars will mention Adam as the Khalifa and everyone else as those who follow his descendants, his progeny. And other scholars said that no, it is more general. When he says a Khalifa here, he means humankind in general. And this seems to be the correct opinion of Allah Ta'ala, A'lam, that it is humankind in general who has this responsibility and can play this role. Abu Hayyan mentioned the prophets of Allah as the messengers who came with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humankind. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ SubhanAllah. Now the angels are asking this very important question. Do you place in it one who will corrupt, who will spread corruption, and will shed blood? SubhanAllah. First thing to notice is what they noticed as this egregious crime and sin. Spreading corruption and shedding blood. Major sins, as we know. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions how serious it is. Meaning, not through some kind of Islamic authority like Qisas or something else. Shedding blood is one of the greatest sins, right? So this is what the angels mention. They're obviously mentioning that which seems to be most egregious and unacceptable, right? So he said, one who spreads corruption and sheds blood. Of course, everyone is wondering, where did the angels get this information? How did they know that this is what is going to happen? Did they see, look into the future, subhanAllah? Did they see the wars, the amount of bloodshed that humankind has shed? No, they didn't see any of that. How did they know?
Brothers, previous experience with jinns.
Okay. Very important opinion.
Because we're given free will.
What's that?
Free will.
Okay. And therefore?
Therefore we make wrong
decisions. Necessarily. There's going to be?
No, we would make wrong decisions.
Okay. There are going to be sins, there are going to be crimes because of free will. Okay. All right. What else? Other possibilities. How did the angels know? They are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is subhanAllah. Of course, these are the angels. Be careful, right? You're talking about the most obedient, most obedient in the sense that they cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? They are asking a very important question. Yes, previous experience with the jinn. Because we know that the jinn were created before human beings, Okay, as Allah says, وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. The jinn, we created them before human beings. They were there before. And it seems, wallahu a'lam, they spread corruption. And there was bloodshed, because they are the other type
which
of
free will.
Creation that has free will, right? So this is what happened with them. And they saw it and they knew about it. Some narrations, though, they seem to be weak, and Imam Tabari mentions that himself when he mentions those narrations, talk about the angels along with Iblis fighting against the jinn to stop them from spreading corruption and shedding blood. Some narrations you may read about as well mention other kinds other than the jinn. And Ibn Kathir mentions this in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, but that also seems to be weak, wallahu a'lam, such as the hin and the bin as well. Other types, other than the jinn. Okay, but that seems to be weak, wallahu a'lam. But it's very possible the angels knew this from seeing the jinn. There's another very important possibility that was not mentioned, and possibly the most important one, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them. Allah azza wa jalla told them that this is what is going to result, especially from the descendants and the progeny of Adam and the Khalifa, that this is what they are going to do. The angels, you have to love and respect the angels, and you have to see the innocence of the angels. The angels know better. They are pious worshippers of Allah. They don't know sins, they don't know crimes. So actually, it's a very good question. Oh Allah, we are worshipping you. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنَقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And we are glorifying your praise. SubhanAllah. What else? Isn't that what ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran? That creation was there for? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So it seems like a very valid question. Allah created us so that we can worship. So they're saying, we are worshipping you. Are we not worshipping you? It's almost like they thought that this is somehow something against them. Or that it somehow decreases of their value. And this is why Al-Imam al-Razi and others mention that this question seems to imply that the Malaika are saying, make us your Khalifa on earth. We are worshipping you and we are pious worshippers. Will you place in it the one who corrupts and sheds blood? SubhanAllah. Almost as if it's a request. Okay? أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مِنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءُ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them this is what is going to happen, then based on that they knew and they asked. If indeed, wallahu a'lam, they were told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to create a human being from mud and from clay, and they ultimately knew that he had free will, they will know also, as you deduced, brother, that bloodshed will ensue, crimes will ensue. So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? I mentioned to you that some of the narrations, Imam al-Tabari mentions and others, seem to imply that there is an objection by the Malaika. An That seems to be incorrect. The malaika cannot object to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يسبقونهم بالقول. Not only do they do what they're commanded, they do not somehow speak before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or give their opinion in this way. لا يسبقونهم بالقول. Okay, so they cannot object to Allah. This is not an objection. As scholars of tafsir said, this is their way of inquiring, oh Allah, why? What is the wisdom behind it? Again, learn the lesson, my dear brother. When your children ask, what is the wisdom, Baba? Why are we doing this? That's just the way it is. No. Explain the wisdom. If you do not know, ask someone who may be wiser and knows. Why? The angels want to know why. This is a question of why. No objection. They want to know. And it's a most valid question. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. I know what you do not. And I remembered something about the two opinions of vicegerent and the successive authority. Remind me to tell you if I forget. It's interesting as well. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, I know what you know not. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah know that they don't? Well, one possible opinion, and it is one that Imam al-Tabari inclines to, and many others, scholars of tafsir did as well, because there are narrations from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een to that effect, where they said that what Allah knew, which they did not, is the fact that Iblis, because we know Iblis is among them, right? Iblis is among them, though he is not from the angels, he is from the jinn. But he is among them now. And Allah knows that he is going to disobey, and that he is going to allow the arrogance in his heart upon the creation of this Khalifa to do what he is going to do. The angels do not know this. And therefore, when they're talking about themselves as pious worshippers who extol Allah and glorify His praise and purify Him and purify themselves, they don't know that amongst them is the worst of creation now, Iblis. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. So I know what you do not of what Iblis is hiding. What is hiding amongst you and you do not know of it. Okay? So this is one opinion. The other opinion is very interesting, and you will possibly read about it and see it, but again, if you trace it all the way back, you'll trace it all the way back to Al-Imam Qatada. Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi, the famous scholar of tafsir. Right? He said that here, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, meaning I know what will come out of this Khalifa, what will follow from this Khalifa of prophets and messengers and pious worshippers and people who will ultimately dwell in paradise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, because they saw what? The negative aspect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, there will be so much good that will come out of this Khalifa. There will be so much good that will come out of human beings given and taking into consideration everything you mentioned, as bad as it is, but there will be so much good as well. And ultimately, Imam Ibn Kathir echoes that when he says that I know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of the great benefit, the maslaha that will come out despite this mafsada, okay, which you are talking about, the crimes that you are talking about. Ultimately, yes, the angels are pious worshippers, but there's no striving there, brothers, right? There's no mujahada. There's no striving against themselves and the shaitan, right? And their desires. They were created that way. They have no other option. It's a totally different story when you have this being living his whole life striving against the shaitan and his own self to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is on another level. And that's why those are the people who will deserve paradise, because they made that decision. It all comes back to the issue of accountability, which, Allahu A'lam, is the correct opinion for another inexplicit term that scholars differ over as well. In the end of Surah Al-Ahzab, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned Al-Amana, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا يَحْمِلْنَا, that we have presented Al-Amana, the trust, to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, and they were all, they were afraid to take this Amana, this trust. This trust to Allah A'lam is the idea of accountability. You do good, you will be rewarded by Allah. You do otherwise, you will be punished. Everyone was afraid of this. The one who took it, the human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Khalifa on the earth. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. How much good came out of the creation of human beings and putting them on the earth? If you look at the good, why are you here? Because you are all, inshallah, good. You are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and similar gatherings all over the globe. There is so much good that came out. Allah knows. إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This is not something that the angels would have ever thought of or could ever know about. This is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. As we said in the beginning, this is the beginning of the story of humankind. The story of humankind on earth. In this ayah alone, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, before the creation of Adam, I am going to make a khalifa in the earth. Yeah, you can feel that with this ayah, it's almost like everything is beginning. And ultimately, the story of humankind on this earth is the story of obedience versus disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will result and conclude in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarding the pious and punishing the disobedient. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best end, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the God-fearing and the pious. May we be with the dwellers of paradise, inshaAllah. I was mentioning to you the difference of opinion on the vicegerent as opposed to the successors, right? Subhanallah, if you grab the famous book of Tafsir, Safwat al-Tafasir, from the famous Syrian scholar, Sheikh al-Sabuni, he mentions the opinion of vicegerent there, very clearly, okay, as a khalifa. Years later, in a video when he was doing Tafsir, he took the opinion that no one can be the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the meaning of Khalifa there is a successor. This is the same person. He's a scholar of Tafsir. And this is what is written in his book of Tafsir itself. So it just goes to show you that this is not an easy matter. Okay? The opinion about what is meant here by al-Khilafa. The reason I'm saying this to you is to make sure that you keep an open mind. When you hear the other opinion, other than the one that you are used to, or that possibly you are convinced by, or maybe you studied or researched and that you are convinced of. This ayah, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, is one of those verses that, because subhanAllah, the Qur'an affects people in different ways. This specific ayah seems to have had a very deep effect on a renowned professor of mathematics in Kansas University, Jeffrey Lang. You might have heard of him. And he has written some books. He's a convert. He went from Christianity, and then he went to atheism, and then he came to Islam. And it was this ayah that just boggled his mind as he was reading it, because he felt he had the exact same question that the angels asked, which is, why on earth would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put such a fallible, feeble, wrongdoing human being on earth that is capable of so much evil, when he has the angels? And ultimately it is because, as much as he's capable of so much evil, he's also capable of so much good and so much love and so much compassion and mercy and courage and bravery and selflessness and sacrifice and every other good that you can think of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. And I'll end it there. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. If there are any questions or comments, please go ahead.
At the beginning, you said you had a question. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have this conversation with the angels in the first place? You didn't explain that.
I didn't explain. I thought I did. Did anyone see an answer in what I said?
To expose Iblis,
why he had this conversation. This comes later on. This comes later on, and that's mentioned, right? That story keeps on being mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comes a little bit after, in a few verses, we'll study it inshallah. With قُلْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ, right? He tells the angels, prostrate to Adam. But here, he's telling them, I am going to make a khalifa in the earth, right? And the angels then question. That's where I was telling you, I was giving you a real life example when I mentioned that you may be a person in authority in your family, in your company, in your society. Consult, speak with others, learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing it. Don't ask me to tell you why is Allah doing it. Allah does what He wills, right? We can try to understand the wisdom behind it, right? I'll never tell you this is exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it. I'm saying that this is possibly a wisdom that we extract from it. If Allah is discussing it, you know, not discussing it because, you know, He's making up His mind, ta'ala Allah, He's telling them, this is what I'm going to do. But why is He telling them in the first place if it is a foregone conclusion, right? We learn from that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is having this conversation, if you are someone in any kind of authority, the least you can do is talk about it. Talk about what you plan to do, what you have decided to do. And technically, not only that, you must consult, because you are a human being with limited intellect. You must consult others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Their matter is one of shura, of consultation. All of the matters of the Muslims, technically, the right way for it to be done is by consultation. So it's even a further step. But what I'm doing is I'm speaking to someone, maybe who feels that I don't need to consult. So I'm saying, okay, if you're not going to consult, at least discuss it. Allah is having that conversation with the malaika. Learn from it. Maybe you will learn from the conversation and you will realize that your decision is not the wisest, right? Is it clear now, brother?
Not really. But he's not having a discussion.
No, of course not. He's telling them.
He's informing them.
He's informing them. Exactly.
So I too had the same question. That's why I'm interested.
Excellent. Excellent.
So why did he have...
This is one of the things we learn from it. What do we learn from it? Because ultimately, we want to learn, right? So this is possibly one of the things we learn from it. Yes, the conversation continues, right? So afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to prostrate. When we come to وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, and he had taught Adam all of the names, then we learn a lot more, right? Because the conversation continues. Because when he tells them إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَتَعْلَمُونَ, yes, that doesn't seem to be the end of it. The angels then learn a lot more and no longer question, right? So here they are questioning, putting him on earth. Later on, when he tells them prostrate to Adam, they do it without questioning, right? So yes, possibly it is in order to, it's a prerequisite for something else that is coming along, which eventually will be the prostration to Adam, which they will obey, and Iblis will not, which will eventually bring about putting the Khalifa on earth. Because ultimately, when you look at that ayah, Allah did not tell them here yet that He's creating the human being, nor that He is putting him in Jannah. He's already told them the conclusion, I'm putting him on earth. So from that, you realize already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that Adam will disobey, and as a result of his disobedience, they will be expelled from Jannah and they will go to earth. Right? So that as well. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, you listen to those verses and what's happening there, this is where the angels now understand, begin to understand, oh, this is why. And they no longer have a question about why it is that Adam alayhi salam and his progeny and everyone after him are the ones who are going to be Khalifa on the earth. That comes in the coming verses, inshallah. We do recognize as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that you are going to be commanded to prostrate before he was even created. Yeah, confusing one. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that I'm going to create a human being from clay. And another one, من صلصال من حمأ مسنون. فإذا سويته ونفخت فيه من روحي فقعوا له ساجدين. If I make him and blow in him, then I command you, you shall prostrate to him before he even created him. Right? They did not object. They did not, of course, they cannot object. They did not even question there. And this may give us some information about whether this ayah came after إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً or before. Any other questions or comments? I'm sorry if we went beyond the usual time. I think we are within the half an hour, right? Yes, brother. Yeah, absolutely.
He's definitely informing us about his decision.
What happened there? Absolutely.
And definitely, his decision is not something that we should question.
Of course.
It's difference between his decision and then what he mentioned after. It's an order that you have to prostrate to Adam. So that's the difference. You need to understand that this verse is also for us to understand.
Of course.
Because if there is no such a verse, we'll be basically questioning how
we wouldn't know. We know that we came about,
yeah,
but what happened there?
Yeah,
Allah is telling us that story. Absolutely. And this is why I mentioned in the beginning that this ayah is essentially introducing the story of humankind, right? On earth. Because otherwise, where are we going to live this story? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, because One thing that the scholars also debated is, well, a khalifa to do what? We mentioned to rule, to judge between people in justice and truth. And we also always talking about amaratul ard. Amaratul ard means that you are here to build. You are here to build and to construct and to develop. Okay? And didn't get that much time to tell you that ultimately this ayah shows you the centrality of the human being. So if, you know, astronomers and cosmologists today are trying to say, oh, there could be life on some exoplanet, you know, that we have never heard of, and they continue, scientists continue to look for life outside of Earth, and they can't seem to find it anywhere. They continue to try to impress upon us that human beings are really not that special, and there could be other beings, and they're much more developed than us, and more intellectual, and. Well, I hate to break it to you, but until now, nobody has discovered anything of the sort. And wallahu a'lam, they may not discover anything of the sort. And the centrality is for the human being. This ayah, as we mentioned in the beginning, the opinion of Ibn Kathir and many others, shows the status of the human being. Inni ja'alu fil ardi khalifa. I am putting a khalifa on the earth. It's all about the human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the status of the human being. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. The human being is the reason for which the heavens and the earth exist today. Brothers and sisters. I don't know if there are sisters in the back. The reason the heavens and the earth exist is for this, for the test, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reward the pious and punish the disobedient. Again, what the angels do not understand here. قَالَ أَمِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. It's not just about worshipping Allah when you have no other option. No, that's not what it's about. It's about the human beings who are going to say La ilaha illallah and live by it despite all of the difficulties and the challenges that they face. Otherwise, why did He create the heavens and the earth? So this is part of it as well. There's no reason for this universe, brothers and sisters. You know, if it was like a lot of people understand today, which is devoid, the very secular idea, which is devoid of the idea of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what? Allah put us here for progress? Just to make material progress and see what the human being can invent? That's it? No, of course not. Ultimately, it's about progress on our path to discovering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along the way, development, scientific progress, civilization, and all of those things that we call Imaratul Ard. Yes, but all when done on the path to Allah, not away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true civilization, this is true khilafa on the earth, right? Anything else?
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.